In 1 John chapter 2 last week, trying to see the taillights of this lesson on the fruits of the Spirit, or the fruit, let me clear my English up a little bit, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, and the biggest one is love, and that seems to be the one the devil seems to rob us of what true love is, things that we should love, things that we should not love. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And boy, Christmas time coming up, boy, the world seems so glittery right now, so sparkly right now, and everybody wants something, everybody wants more, and more of this, and more of that, and where's Jesus at? And that's where my heart's at this morning. So, as we was hitting the tail end, I read quickly, very quickly, the tail end of chapter 2. I want to back up. Lord willing, read. Remember the word abideth. Remember what abideth mean? It means to what? To stay. In other words, someplace you are stuck. You are stuck in God's word. You're stuck. You're abiding in Christ. To abide in Christ, we abide in His word. That's where the devil keeps us at. If he keeps us out of God's word, the devil does not want you in God's Word. So, and the Holy Ghost is wanting you to stay, to abide in Him. And that's how we abide in Christ, by staying in His Word, staying rooted and grounded, hanging on to these things. And when all them things come and plague our mind, the things of the world, we know how to shove them to the side and root them out. And we know those are attacks of Satan. And we're not ignorant of those things. Let me get my notes here right. All right, just look here at the tail end of chapter 2. Now listen to these words, and as I read through them, listen to them. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but at the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, and when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Well, that's a sobering thought. I don't know about you, but that standing before Him at His coming, the bema seat of Christ, this is going to be a sobering time. That's where everything is going to be made manifest in our lives. And then I don't know how He's going to do it, but I know it's going to be done because it's going to be made known. And it's going to, we know it's going to be burned by fire, and it's going to try what sort, what kind, or why you did what you did. Why you're sitting here this morning is going to be tried by fire. Did you come here to glorify God? Did you come here to be seen by men? I mean, it's going to be known. Most people come to church, they want to hear about God, but they don't come to church to meet God. This is where we need to be coming to church and get our minds and our attitude. That's what pastor tries to do with the song. Just tries to get our hearts and minds focused towards Him. Then when He preaches, we want to hear from Him. Not the pastor. We want to hear from God. We want to have our hearts open, prepared. Lord, here am I. Lord, what do you want me to hear? What do you want me to do? And that's what we need God to work on us. So look at this. Look at the words abide here. There's three of them here between 27 and 28. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. If you're saved, we have who inside us? The Holy Ghost of God. And He's a wonderful comforter that we have. And ye need not any man teach you, but at the same anointing teacheth you of all things. And is truth and is no lie. And even as it taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Abide in who here? The Holy Ghost of God, as He reigns and rules in our. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when ye shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And that's where I want to get my heart and mind fixed on here this morning, just for these last 15 minutes, that we get our hearts and minds fixed. Everybody believes, who believes Jesus is coming? I had a flashback from driving in Pastor's truck going over to Bungie. And there was a thought, old Brother Sammy, he kept bringing out. Everybody believes He's coming. Everybody's focused on His coming, but nobody's focused on the judgment seat. I remember when he said that. Boy, and that just went through my mind. No one's thinking about standing before him and making account of what we've done here on earth. And I don't know about you, but that just smacks me right in the face and just really just humbles me. There's things that I've missed that I wish I did right, that I done goofed up on, and I can't go undo them. Done goofed. Done slipped, done failed. Got up, but nevertheless, that's already happened. I can't go back and unchange that. Thank God it's under the blood, but nevertheless, it's something that I could. It's after I was saved. After I've made a profession of Christ. After I've been born again. People just went by me that I could have witnessed to and didn't. We're going to make a count one day. That's what's so important. That's why this lesson so burns in my heart. People we walk by, these fruits are light to shine. These fruits that they see in our lives, they see who you are. Most people know you're in a parking lot of a church house this morning. Your neighbors know, so they're looking at anything they can possibly see in you to find fault in you. Are you real or are you a fake? And boy, they'll pick you out. You know why I know that? I used to be one. I was the worst you ever seen. Boy, I'd judge you so fast. I'd cut you to scorn. You say you a Christian, I'm going to find a fault in you, and you was a low-down fake like everybody else. Buddy, I did. I cut you to scorn. I'm looking for any detail. You just slip up in the mouth. I said, yeah, you're one of them. You get in the flesh, oh, you're one of them. I'd pick you out quick. I'd pick you out real quick, and this world ain't no different. And we got to realize the devil is keen to make us to be fakes, to make us to be frauds, make us to where of none effect. To where our witness is no good. You witness to someone and you really mean it this time, but you've done acted like a fool in front of them. Boy, I don't know what I'm so stirred up about this morning. Getting around my family, I reckon they do that to me. They're just really just, oh gosh. And they say they're saved. God help us. But anyways, so loving not the world, not things of the world. Now, real quick, let's look. Having these thoughts in our minds, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second, I want to read a few scriptures here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And this is all dealing with this fruit of righteousness that God wants to see in our lives. And it's evident when we have Him reigning and ruling in our hearts and minds. And the fruit of that, the Spirit of God living and ruling through us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's see, how many can we get through here? Let's look here. Now this is talking about giving and how they was given to the needs of the people of the church. But listen how it's saying this. Look down here in verse 7. Every man, according as he had purposed in his heart, talking about how he give, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Not just here in giving, but every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, now this is what I want you to listen. He that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything and all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distributions unto them, and unto all men. Did you catch them words? Your professed subjections unto the gospel of Christ. That's why we do everything. That's what everything's important about. It's spreading the gospel. It's all about getting the gospel, the good news out. That's the church's purpose. The preaching is to stir us, to challenge us. So we go out them doors and we see the people we work with, our neighbors. We look at them and we see them not as trees walking, but a soul dying, going into eternity. And we're moved upon that and we can't help ourselves, but Lord, give me a door. Give me something, Lord, I can tell them about you. Oh, God, they need you. The woman at Walmart, your grandkids, your loved ones, your friends at school, for mine, somewhere else, you ain't going to see them. They're just going to walk by them and say, well, that's my missed opportunity. They're there. You look for one, I guarantee you, God will give you a door. Some way to get the gospel in. Some way to get the good news in. And by their prayers for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The gift to God. That's what we're to give freely. And this is the time to give it. Not to get, but to give the good news. Now let's look at Philippians real quick. I got 7 minutes and 30 seconds before the first bell. I'm doing good. 26, 25, 24, 23. Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 9. Old Paul here and said, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. There's that judgment seat. There's that place standing before him again. There it keeps popping up that we're going to make an account one day. That ye may approve all things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense to the day of Christ. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now, these words here, we've been studying this in our pastor, in our Bible study over this verse, and I went here and I said, I can't help it. It's here. We're going to just dig it out. We're going to put a shovel in and hole right here just a little bit, and nothing's back up here. This cord, I forgot my jacket, and I'm just going to have to swing it over my shoulder like a rope. So, verse 9. This, I pray that your love, and what's he talking about? Your love. What we've been teaching about? Love, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Number one part. May abound yet more and more in what? Knowledge and in all judgment. That ye may approve things that are excellent. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. I tore these apart best I could. So listen up. Let me get these. This word knowledge and judgment. Knowledge here means recognition by implication, full discernment. Full discernment of what? Of love, knowing the type of love, knowing the difference of loving things in the world or things that love God, the love of Christ, things that love the church, loving gospel, loving souls, loving things that matter to God, and discerning those things. There's a scripture in Hebrews 5:14. Hang on here. Let me read it real quick. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age even those, not just the ones that are older, but even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised both to discern both good and evil. In other words, to discern the difference. Now, figuratively speaking here, it's to know when you are doing wrong. When Roger's goofing up, I've got the Holy Ghost inside me. Let me know when I'm goofing up. When I'm, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't think that. And to know the difference. But you notice the words of who have exercised. In other words, we're working. We got everybody working out with weights and treadmills and ellipticals and exercising. I've been exercising with my right hand, with my fork and spoon in my hand the last few days. Glory to God, what a time I've been having. I've been working out and looking and learning how to use the other notch in my belt. I know what they're for now. They're to loosen it up when you get a little full. Amen. But they've exercised their minds both to discern both good and evil. Exercise. So they think about what is wrong. They make it, there's something they're doing deliberately. Both discerning both good and evil. So discerning this word here, as we look at it here, now let's go back to Philippians. I run in Hebrews real quick. I got 2 minutes and 40 seconds. And I got 5 minutes to wrap up after that, so I'm good. So knowledge here means recognition by implication of full discernment. So it's knowledge here. As I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge or this recognition or this full discernment and judgment. Now notice judgment's put in judgment. It means a perception, figuratively discernment. So the words are very, very close together, and he puts them in. So we're to discern, figuratively, the perception, both how to love. You know, I wanted to do this. How many times this word love is mentioned in the Bible? We seem to know very little about it. And the more I study it, the less I realize I know about it. We're in the battlefield, and the devil gets us. Oh, you can love, but you can love this, you can love that, and you can love everything else, but he don't want us to love the things that we should love. Loving God's Word, and this is where he wants to keep us out from. So, this word love here, of course, I've said it before, much to love charity, a feast of charity. To love in a social and moral sense, this word love. So this word, this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in full discernment, full perception of what? That ye may approve things that are excellent. That ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Paul was telling this church of Philippi, I don't want you to stand there ashamed. And I was just talking to Sharon about this the other day. I don't want to be there ashamed. Every one of us, if you're saved, you're going to make an account at that day. And that's going to be the humblest time. It's like I want to just skip over it and get to the marriage supper, you know. You know, the people that we've let slip by. Then we get a 1,000-year reign with him, and there's just the great white throne judgment. We're going to make an account that day too. We going to be judged? No. We're going to watch death and hell brought forward and watch them be judged. Because guess who's on that throne? Jesus is. Anywhere Jesus is, guess where we're going to be? We're going to be right there. So we're going to watch that one too. We're not going to be in that, but we're going to be a bystander. All those people that slipped by us, our loved ones, co-workers, because we wasn't living for God. We missed a day. We slipped on that day. We goofed that day. We wasn't walking in the Spirit of God. We was walking in the flesh that day. And we missed an opportunity that we could have told someone about Christ. Could have just said the right word that Jesus loves you. He loves you so much he'd give his life for you. Most powerful words we have is the gospel. The greatest news, it ain't the million dollar lottery or 6 million, whatever it's up to now, 66 million, it keeps going crazier. It ain't that we're going to make people happy. Jesus ought to make them happy. So they see Jesus in us, Jesus reigning in us, and to see a joy in your life that you're content with Christ. And we just seem to, boy, and then a lot of you have it, boy, a lot of you reign, you see you have the joy of Christ in your life. But it's out them doors is the battlefield we're going on. I heard a bell. I got 4 minutes wrapped up. Webster said about this word, discernment, the quality of being able to grasp and comprehend discernment. What is obscure, skill in discerning, an act of perceiving or discerning something. Does it not go right along with Hebrews chapter 5? They've exercised their minds and conscience both to discern both good and evil. In other words, they make it a point about themselves to know when they're slipping, know when bad words are ready to come out or bad thought or wanting things that I shouldn't want. When those things happen, you've exercised, you're ready for it. Because you can immediately say, oh God, have mercy, help me. You're on the battlefield. And we need that help at that time. And we have the Holy Ghost. I mean, if you're saved, you have Him. And according to the scriptures there, He says, you have all knowledge. I need not teach you nothing. There's things that happened automatically the day I got saved, and I didn't know a scripture one for them. You know why? Somebody moved in and camped out. He didn't camp out. He set up residence for all eternity. Things I just knew. I just knew. My voice, my speech changed. My attitude changed. Everything I looked at changed. And I didn't have a scripture one to back none of it up. But I knew I was different. I knew something happened inside that changed me. And I remembered all the people I condemned. Oh, my soul. I didn't give them a chance. I really didn't realize that. And boy, now I know what they're up against. This old stinking flesh is rotten. Boy, if we don't keep it turned to God's Word, we're in trouble. I got 2 minutes. Just pray and we'll dismiss. Father, do God help us, I pray. Father, may Your Word find root on our hearts and minds. Lord, to win our loved ones, win our neighbors, when the people we run in contact at Speedway or Walmart or wherever we're at. Lord, that our attitude and our life need to be salt. We need to be light. Oh, God, help us to let the Spirit of God reign and rule in our hearts. Let our children see You in us. Help us, dear God. Bless the service to come, Lord. Preach our preacher, help him, dear God. Give him that punch, give him that touch. Let us hear from You. Save that one nearest hell and that one walking afar off. Bring him back in close. Bless now, have Your will and way. Help us to sing to You. Oh, Holy Ghost of God, fill us, illuminate us, captivate us. Help us to worship our Lord and Savior today. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.